So, hello everyone. Welcome back to Conversations with Rookie. I took an extremely long break. Okay, it wasn't extremely long. I've taken a longer break before. But if you follow me on Instagram, I was recently ranting about, the support that I get from you guys, So if you want the episodes to be coming more and frequently, please support, please share. You can sponsor an episode, talk more about it, leave our information in the bio. But yeah, you can sponsor an episode, you can sponsor many other things that we want to do to expand, sponsor equipment or whatever it is. But let's do better, and please share. That's how it gets out. That's the motivating factor. That's what drives it. Remember, this is Conversations with Rookie, where I have the most amazing conversations. And guess what? I always have amazing conversations, and I don't have to record it for you guys, but I take the time and I record it and I invite amazing people. So please do the needful. Let's get this out and let's get this rolling. I want to thank everyone so far that has shared, that has left a review, that has sent it. I also want to thank everyone that's listening. I mean, I go places, and sometimes a friend of a friend or even someone that I don't expect to be listening is actually listening. So I know that you guys don't often reach out to me when you listen, but I see you and I thank you. And for everyone that I've met, over the summer and over the last year who's walked up to me and like, "Oh, Ricky, I listen to your podcast. Thank you very much. And please don't ever be shy to come and talk to me. I'm always happy to talk about, whatever it is that we shared here." So again, thank you to everyone who has shared, rated, and who has supported. We actually got our first donation this week. So I want to thank you for that. Today's episode on the podcast is one that is very, very, very interesting. And is a conversation that, maybe can be had more than once. But I have someone here who, for obvious reasons is anonymous. We're going to call her Jane Doe. And I'll tell you why she's anonymous today. We're going to be talking about polygamy. But first of all, let me, just say hi to everybody.
Thank you so much for the opportunity to be here on your podcast. My name is Jane Doe. Yes, Jane Doe is me.
But yeah, welcome to the podcast, Jane Doe. So there's the reason for this is because, obviously you grew up in a polygamous home, so you understand, or at least you've seen polygamy up close compared to someone like me who is just like thinking about it. I'm not thinking about it in the sense that I want to be in a polygamous relationship, no. But I'm at a stage where, my friends are getting married. Maybe I should be getting married as well. And, marriage is definitely something that is more on my mind than it has ever been. And I'm wondering what it like the evolution of marriage so far, right? So earlier on, marriage is God's design, frankly speaking, right? God brought Adam and Eve. That's the first marriage we see in the Bible. I'm using the Bible because I have a biblical worldview, and that's what I know, and that's what I understand to be the truth. But over time in culture and in history, marriage is something that people have used for alliance. So if they wanted to strengthen a community or strengthen ties, or let's say we're very good friends and we went into business together, the way that we know that business will somehow continue is if my son marries your daughter, or your daughter marries my son. Kingdoms were united in marriage. People traveled across the sea to get married for, and I don't think, if you think about it, Solomon's, 300 wives, is it 300 wives and 700 concubines? I don't think it was because he loved women that much. I think a lot of them were alliances. Because when you think about it, he lived in the time of peace, there was no war. And marriage was sort of a thing that was used to quell wars, because you wouldn't go to war against your in-law. So you would just marry from, this is just a postulation. But so I'm thinking, if, and there are people that are still polygamous in today's world, right? So the world has sort of evolved, right, from marriage because of alliance, marriage because of procreation, to marriage because of love. And whether that is the best reason to marry, I don't know. But now you want to fall in love. You want someone that understands you, that loves your quirks, you know, takes care of you. Like, now the understanding of marriage has sort of changed. And there are people that are polygamous, and polygamy in you know, in Western society is something that is frowned upon. And I'm wondering, what is so bad about it? Like, it seems to me, so I know the obvious things that are bad about it, but it seems to me like it could work. Because, so I stumbled on this lady on Instagram who lives in the United States for whatever reason, and she's Islamic, and she's a co-wife, and the man has three wives. She's the first wife, and she's so like empowered by that. Like, she posts about it, and I'm thinking, first of all, the only reason you think this agreement works very well is because you're the first wife. Secondly, it seems that, okay, they share some days. So I think she takes Friday, Saturday, Sunday. No, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Then the other wife takes Tuesday, Wednesday. Then the other one takes Thursday, Friday. So she has 3 days. You know, compared to the other wives that have 2 days, right? And they sort of seem like best friends, like, the wives are very good friends, and they all take care of this husband, who in turn takes care of them. And to me, I'm just wondering, like, if I was married to him, like a man that had two other wives, like, I would want those wives to be my friends, right? No, maybe not. Like, it will make sense if we're all, because how are you having three wives and you're not a corporation? Like, that is a corporation. That's a conglomerate. That's like a functional unit. If you guys are not coming together for a you know, a common good, like, your wife better be CEO, the other one better be head of accounting. Like, you can't just have three wives and do nothing and then 15 children. It's like, for me, I think it could work. I really think it could work, but I think it often doesn't work. But let's talk about your dynamic. So you didn't choose this life. we'll revisit whether it works or not. I think it could work. I'm not for it. I'm not supporting it, but I think it's one way of marriage that may work. And, you know, yeah. But tell us about your growing up and everything, and how sort of evolved from what you told me. You're like the first child, and, you know, so tell us your story.
Okay, my story. So for me, as long as I can remember, I've always, you know, in the past, I used to think there was something like perfect families or picture perfect families. But as I've in age, I've actually come to know that every family has its own dynamics. I mean, it might not be, you know, polygamous two wives, but then there's always something else about that family. So I really don't know if there's something like a picture perfect family. I think it's just what it is to, you know, your description or your own definition of what that is. But then for as long as I can remember, I've always been part of a polygamous family. So I'll just tell you quickly how my family is. I was born, and from what I know, my parents, you know, they had me because they fell in love. So, you know, they had me and then got married afterwards. So technically, my mom is kind of just the first wife because I'm the first child, and because of the gap between me and my other siblings from my second mom. And then recently this summer, I was back home for, you know, the vacation, and I found out from my stepmom that I don't call her stepmom because I've known her as my mom for a very long time. So we're literally like mom and child, and my own biological mom calls her my mom. So it's like, oh, is your mom around? So it's, yeah.
Oh, wow.
But the thing is, yep. So, I mean,
okay, wait, because, okay. I have a question. No, but go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I found out this summer that she just told me, we're talking about I think we're talking about my dad. But she told me that, do you know, I didn't even know about you and your mom until after my marriage. And I'm pretty sure it was the same thing. So my mom was already there. I think they got married. My stepmom and my dad got married the year after my birth. And I got, you know, I was born like the ending of, let's just say, this year. And then my stepmom and dad got married a year later. So she did not know about my birth and my mom did not know about what was happening, where it was happening, right?
How so is that possible? Were they living in like different cities? What was that like?
So I can't really say. Okay, I'll just say that, for assuming, let's just take for instance, my mom is from Ghana, right? My own biological. Let's just say maybe my mom is from Ghana and then my stepmom is from Nigeria and my dad is also Nigerian. So my dad was in Ghana. He moved, you know, he started business in Ghana. His business was flourishing and stuff. And he met my mom and they had me, you know, before getting married. And then back in Nigeria, you know, the place I come from, it's very typical for us to always go back home for Christmas. So every, you know, Christmas time, it's back. Time for us to go back home together. So I think he had his wedding there, you know, a year later, right? So she was so telling me that.
Who do you think he met first, your stepmom or your mom?
Good question, because, you know, if you look at it, I mean, like I said before, the only reason I think that my mom is the first wife is because she had me first. I'm the first child. But if you look at it, because I'm pretty sure my, you know, my stepmom was married to my dad before my parents actually got married. So
really?
That way. But technically in the family, my mom is the first wife.
I see.
Yeah. Yeah. So what my stepmom said was that she started having dreams. So that somebody, I don't even know what she said about the dream, but it was like somebody was telling her that she took, you know, what belongs to her, something, something, something. And she started asking my dad, and my dad was saying, no, please, there's no such thing, until everything, you know, finally came out. And I had to come back to see my dad's family because, oh, you know, you're part of the family and stuff. And that was how I met my stepmom. So as long as I know, I think I met my stepmom when I was like 5 or 6. So since then, I mean, that's a very long time. That's like over 15 years. Yeah, like, let's just say 15 years. So I've known my stepmom for 15 years. So, you know, that's a very long time for us to bond. That's why I don't call her stepmom. I literally call her my mom. So yeah. And then very recently, maybe 4 years ago or something, we found out that my dad was having a child with another woman outside. So yeah, that's the other that is my dad's third wife, praise the Lord.
Are they married now?
Are they married? I don't know about that. That's my dad's business. Like I said, dad's wife. So it's my dad's life. So I don't really pry into those things. My responsibility as the first child really is to just, you know, be there for my younger ones. For me, it's just, you know, my siblings and my mom's, my mother's. But the third wife is my dad's wife.
Okay, you don't really know her yet.
Well, I mean, you know how it's, let me not say this, so, but I mean, think about it. You're the third wife, so you have to make effort and be everywhere so that everybody's like, you know, hi, and all of that stuff. So, but it's like, I mean, okay, this third wife is actually from the same place with my mom. So, wow, it's actually a lot. She's from the same community with my mom. They kind of know this whole, and people talk here, people talk there. So there's a lot of friction. So it would break my heart. It would break my mom's heart if she found out. Like, my mom literally does not, you know, let me associate with. Yeah. So
I see. Okay. So there's so many questions I have right now, but the first one is, okay, just how does your dad spend time with all these women? Is there one that like sort of gets the shorter end, and or does he try to like go? Because from what you said now, it seems like there's even two countries involved. and then maybe even between the first and the second wife, and then there's now like maybe two cities between maybe the second and the third. Like, do they all live together? Like, what's that like sharing of?
Well, I'll start with saying that polygamy is bad.
Oh,
Don't
okay.
do it. Don't practice it. It's toxic. Don't do it. But anyway, with regards to your question, I just remember this one time when this was actually the first time that my mom was coming home for Christmas with my dad. So, like I said before, where I come from, it's very typical of us to go back home. And by home, I mean like our village. So, yes, we go
Right.
back home to for Christmas. So it was my grandma's burial, and my mom had not, been there before. So my dad had to like build another part. He added another side to the house just to make it bigger and everything because my mom was coming back. So I remember that December, he usually, he sleeps here Monday. He rotated it, here Monday, here Tuesday, here Wednesday, here Thursday, like that. And in this kind of,
Interesting.
for peace to reign, I remember one time I went into my mom's room and I saw a perfume and I wanted to spray it. Then she was like, "Hey, don't touch it, please. My husband got it for me." And I thought I didn't know that my dad had this side to him. Only for me to go to my stepmom's room for something and see the exact same thing. I was like, "What is this? This is crazy. Oh my God." So I guess that's how you do things. But of course, there's still position. So as the first wife, for example, it was grandma's burial, of course. So we had to make like a book and everything for tribute. So after my dad's picture, the first picture is my mom's picture, and then my stepmom, etc.
I
So
see.
there's just.
Yeah, so interesting. Okay, so I want to ask about this dynamic of you getting close to your second born in a sense. And I think that's amazing because it's sometimes the case you hear is of like the evil stepmom and all of that. But like it seems like she really cares about you and she's nice to you. How did your mom sort of take the news at first? And how did she allow you begin to build a relationship? Or was it something that she didn't have a choice? Like, okay, your dad is like, you're my child and you're going to live anywhere I tell you to live. So it seems like you had time to bond with her, so you were away from your mom. What was that like?
Well, I lived with my mom. Like, I didn't grow up with my parents. I actually grew up with my auntie and a lot of my cousins. So I lived with my mom up till like 6 or 7. And it was really tough. My dad wanted to get me away from that environment. And I'm truly grateful. It was really, ordained. It was really God, really. Because if I didn't get out of that environment, I don't think I would have turned out the way that I did, my relationship with God. Everything. But then, my mom fought. She said, "No, I don't want to see my child go. Like, this is the only child I have." But my dad really wanted to get me away. So at the end, it was me, Sha. I was the only child then. And one Christmas, my dad took me home and I saw, my cousins and everything. He was like, "Oh my God, back there, I'm the only child. I'm me. I love company. I'm not going back there. Oh, I don't care." When I went back to my mom, I literally refused to eat. I refused to go to school. And that was how she gave in finally. So I had to be shipped. So the thing is, my mom lives in Ghana, right? For example, my mom lives in
Yeah.
Ghana and stepmom lives in Côte d'Ivoire. Is Nigeria. So I was going back to Nigeria for school. I was going to school in Nigeria. The arrangement was, of course, I would spend the whole year in Nigeria because I'm a student. And then during every summer, I would, go back to see my mom. So that was the arrangement. So January to like June, July, I'm in Nigeria for school with my auntie and my cousins. And then on my way back, of course, I already had sisters with my stepmom. So I already knew my
Oh,
sisters. I have a big sister, and I knew that I had a little sister. So every time I would always cross, I'm sorry, cross over from Nigeria to Cote d'Ivoire first, maybe spend like a week with my sisters, and then
yeah.
to my mom. That's how, I started spending time with my stepmom, small by small, bit by bit. I really feel for my stepmom, man. My stepmom, I think it has to do with, character. who you are, really, what is in your heart. Are you a person of love? And my stepmom is a person of love. At least to me, she's a person of love. So
That's
I don't think, you know,
amazing.
have the kind of relationship that we have. You know, this just reminds me, this summer, actually, I was not able to travel to Ghana to see my mom. So my mom had to come to Côte d'Ivoire because I was in Côte d'Ivoire where my stepmom and my sisters are for, you know, the most part of my summer because I had to do some things with my papers and I could only do it from there. So my mom had to come into Côte d'Ivoire to do it. I mean, they've been co-wives for a long time, but they're not really friends. I mean, they are on good terms. They're not friends. So my mom stayed in a hotel. But the thing is, you know, when my mom came to the house to pick me up, you know, the arrangements, my mom said, I can't pick you up without your mom's approval. Your mom has been there. So I'll have to come to the house and pick you up so that she'll know, oh, I'm taking your child with me and I'll bring her back, you know, and stuff. So remember, you know, when my mom came to the house, my stepmom rushed into the kitchen. Literally, she went to cook and do this and do that. And they just, you know, talked like normal people. So for them, I think they've warmed up to each other because they understand, they understand the shoes. They understand, you know, wow, this is the position that we are in. And it's not easy for either of us, especially with the third, I want to call it attack. Right. We understand that this is where we are and stuff, but yeah, I don't know if I answered your question.
No, you did. You did. So you think it's easier for them to team up against this new person?
My goodness, you don't even know how it was. The first time, literally, that I saw them on a call together was when, you know, the other person came up when we started hearing things. And of course, at first, my dad denied it, right? Of course, my dad's like, because it's not something to be proud about. You know, when I was a kid then, I always loved my dad more than my mom. Like, I would even say it to their faces. My mom knew. I was a baby, so I said things like that because my mom always used to beat me up. I wasn't the smartest kid. My mom always, she always, I used to try, but she always wanted me to be like first position, second position, and then I would be like fourth position or tenth position, and it didn't make a
very. You're saying you're not the smartest kid. That's like top of the class.
So my mom used to beat me, and I was closest to my dad. So my dad was like this idol. He was like this, you know, very perfect being that could
set him on a pedestal.
Yeah, he was just there for me. And so when I heard what happened, at first it was like, we're just hearing news. Oh, your dad has a child. I said, eh? Who gave birth? And it was with my stepmom a while ago. I know that she did not give birth. And my mom, give birth without letting me know? I mean, I was the only child for a very long time from my mom. So you would expect that. Like, I was praying. I even gave seeds in church. Ah, God, please, if my mommy gives birth, hey, I would do this, I would do that. But yeah, so I was so excited. I called my mom, like, mommy, did you give birth? So you gave birth. I have a brother. Are you not telling me? Hey, my goodness, I'll never forget that conversation. My mom could not say anything. My mom was crying on the call. Oh my God. But yeah, it was like,
take your time.
It's okay. I'm doing a lot better. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. But yeah, she was like, she was not even able to speak. She was just, I mean, you can imagine how hurt she must have been. And then, you know, but anyway, yeah, that's what happened. So the other person gave birth, and the initial arrangement, you know, I mean, I was a kid, right? Like 4 years ago or something. I'm still a kid, please. I'm still a growing child, but as you know, younger than I was, and I didn't know as much. So it was like, what's all this? What's happening? Ah, my goodness. I was so rude to my dad. I went to my dad. I'm my dad's favorite child, by the way. My dad does not joke with me. My goodness, I said some nasty things to my dad. My goodness, he had to call his siblings to call me and talk to me and calm me down because he could not get through to me. I don't know how many people came to the house to see me, but I said some nasty things, like weird things that just, you know, came to my head because it was like, I've lost all respect for this person. How could he do this to me? Like, what is this? Like, you know, I always wanted to have a picture perfect family. Okay, I did not have, you know, one mother, one father, and siblings from the same mom and dad, I was okay, no problem. This is what I've received, so I'll make do with it.
But you were happy with like a stepmom who loved you and like your siblings. Now this one.
So it was like, what is this disruption? This was not the plan. Don't mess things up for me, please. But yeah, that was it. And the arrangement was that, oh, don't worry. It's just the child. You know, well, just keeping the child, we're taking blah 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 the child. But then fast forward, you know, a few months later, December period, hey, she comes back, he comes back home with his new wife. So yeah, but my my dad is not a bad person.
I think it's interesting that you say that your dad is not a bad person, and let's come back to revisit that, because I don't think that he's a bad person either, even though they're questionable decisions, but that's not what this is for. I'm not here to say, oh, he did this wrong, he did that wrong. I mean, I'm sure that if he even looks back, he probably will say, oh, just I shouldn't have done this. But my question is, why do you think your mom stayed?
At first, it was because of me. I don't know how, well, I was part of it, but this is also something. My mom, I don't know how many times my mom's sisters have called me and sat me down and told me, you see the decisions that your mom made. You see, you know, the choices that she made, even the kind of man that she married. Don't you ever, ever try to repeat the same mistakes. Literally, I mean, of course, I understand ministry and everything, but I'm 21. And if my mom were to find out that I had a boyfriend, my mom will freak out. She will freak out because she knows that she stopped school. So, you know, your question was why I think my mom stayed. Part of the reason was that my mom got pregnant with me when she was 19. So she couldn't complete college. I heard from her sisters that my mom was really smart. And actually, my mom studied accounting. That's interesting because I'm also studying accounting. Not because she did it, but because, you know, it was the Holy Spirit. He told me, oh, this is the course for you. But anyway, yes. So she stopped school. And my dad said, oh, don't worry. As the rich businessman that he was and still is. Oh, don't worry. I'll take care of everything. So since then, like, think about it. I'm 21 and she was 19 when she gave birth to me. So,
was she ever able to go to school? Go back to school?
Words?
Yeah.
She never did. I think there was a time that I remember her taking English classes. It was because I wasn't able to communicate fluently with my mom. That also hurts my mom. Think about it. I was the only person there for my mom. And that's why, you know, it's really not only my dad. My mom also made, you know, certain decisions, but you know, whatever choices she made or whatever decisions she made, I don't think that was reason enough for my dad to, you know, go out and have a child with another person. And my dad also had his reasons technically for doing what he did. I mean, my dad only had girls up until now. Actually, my dad's third wife gave birth in the summer, so I have another brother. So yes, so he always had boys. And because of that, his family, you know,
supported him.
Well, yeah, they supported him. It's like, oh, since that's happened, you just have to accept it. You're the first wife, so accept it. I'm not going to talk about how, what do I have to accept it or be comfortable with what you did just because, anyway, whatever. But your question was why my mom stayed. So she got used to getting everything provided for her by my dad. And that's how now. So that's why my mom is really, you know, banking on me to, this is my daughter. And in this, my daughter is 1 million sons. She's going to do so much more for me. Actually, my mom has another son, my little brother. He's adopted. Yes. So it's no longer me alone. It's me and my mom. He's even the favorite child. I'm pretty sure he's the favorite child. But anyway, that's one reason. And another reason was when I was little. My mom, there's so many times. And actually, should I say this? My dad used to beat my mom up when I was little. And I witnessed it. Like, he used to hit my mom. And I know so many times that my mom would pack her stuff and go back to her parents' house and leave me in the house. So it was really chaotic, really. I mean, think about it. This is the kind of environment I was born into, but it turned out like this could have only been God, right? And it's beautiful that I don't even have very vivid, pictures of those times. It's like it was wiped away. It's like I don't even have memories of it, but I know that I was in this environment and this is what had happened at a certain, point in time. But yeah, these are the reasons why my mom stayed back. Me, but right now, I've not really, I know, I don't think the divorce is good. I mean, it's for better or worse. I mean, I know I spoke to someone recently about what will happen if, someone came out of an abusive marriage, like, is that a sin against God and stuff? And they said something about, God frowning against it. But personally, if my mom was to tell me today that she is leaving my dad and leaving him for good, I would clap for my mom.
Interesting.
I would
Interesting.
clap for my mom.
Interesting. So this is a thing where this is very interesting. So this is a thing where you love your dad so much and you're his favorite child, but yet it's so glaring to see the things that he's done that are not right. Do you think he's proud of the things he's done? Have you had this sort of conversation, like, because there was a time where you were angry and that's different, but have you ever sat down and be like, okay, do you know, understand the things you've done? Or is it just something that in order to have peace and in order to keep being the favorite child, you just push it aside?
No, I've done so many things that if it was, possible for me to be the least favorite child, I would. Remember, I said so many things to my dad. It's not that I was on the call with my dad. I just said a lot of rubbish. My auntie gave me a hot slap. I will never forget that day. But no, I haven't actually. I should do that. Thank you so much for this question. I'm going to do it. I'm going to ask him things. I don't want to have to assume. I mean, what I know for a fact and what my aunties say, if you ask them anything concerning this topic, my auntie's reason actually after giving me the slap when I had calmed down was that, oh, your dad, someone has to carry on the family name and things like that. Yada yada yada. So actually the thing, I told you this, Sister Ricky. So where I come from, the children are traced through the mother's side. So my dad's village. So because my second mom is from the same place as my dad, her own children they belong to her and her family. So the only people that belong to my dad are, me, because my mom is that place, and then my brothers, because their mom is not from that place. So this is one of the reasons they would, support him. I guess they say, oh,
So these your aunties that from your dad's side that support him, are they also in polygamous marriages?
they are not. Should I say support him? Not tech, not really supporting him, right? If I'm saying supporting him, it's like, yeah.
No, but I think they are though. Maybe because he's their rich
They are.
brother. He's their
They
rich
are.
brother that provides for them, right? So he helps them out, he provides for them. So they're not going to go against him. So they are supporting him for whatever they can gain. And I wonder whether they would like it done to them. So it's interesting, that everything you said, because the thing I find in polygamy or in from my observation is that oftentimes the ladies that are involved, they don't know that this guy is going to be polygamous, right? They think this man is marrying me for me. He loves me. He's choosing me out of everybody. It's me and you two forever. And they find another woman. And I guess a lot of women will take an indiscretion. A lot of women will take a long time affair. But when you make that affair legal, I guess that's another level, right? Because cheating is not uncommon, right? But I think so I think that's really where things begin to break down, like where somebody now you'll find out that and oftentimes they don't even know. So I guess that's the deceit and that's the deception, there. But it's really interesting. I mean, do you think that the third wife knew about the other two wives coming in as well? I think she definitely knows because at a point.
I mean, of course, she knew that my dad was married to my mom.
Oh, she knew because they were from the same community.
Yeah, literally from the same community. Of course, she knew.
I see. Because even aside from that, like I'm guessing your dad is not like super young. So at some point you should know that like this guy in his 50s or whatever, like talking to you is not single. But that makes sense. So do you think that the your do you think it's going to be harder for you to accept her simply because she knew? Because the first and the second, the timing was, it was like, I think he probably was dating them at the same time. One got pregnant and one didn't. And so, yeah, there was something, they overlapped in any case, because you don't marry somebody in a year, or you usually don't. So there was some overlap somewhere. But like, do you think you're not, because you call her the other woman. I don't know if you noticed, but like,
Did I do
yeah,
that?
you did that. The first one is, oh, my mom. The second one is my mom, and the one is the other one.
My father's wife, oh, please.
Yeah. So do you think there's going to be an acceptance from you? And what if it happens again? What if there's a fourth one? How much is too much?
I don't know. Well, the thing that the Holy Spirit helped me, actually, he opened my eyes to see this. It was like a revelation because I was really hurt. And then he told me, apart from being your dad is also himself, and he's someone else's brother and someone else's uncle. So just because your dad became, your a husband to your mom, it didn't stop him from being your auntie's brother or your auntie's kid's uncle. I don't know if you understand what I mean. So my dad is his own person and I am my own person. He has given me, thank you for bringing me into the world. Yes, you're my dad. I love you. I'm your daughter. You love me and we both have responsibilities to each other, but this is now your own life. And then, the part of acceptance. I've already accepted her and the much that I can give, you're my father's wife. She doesn't have anything to do with me. What is our commonality? The only thing is that she gave birth. She's the mother of my brothers. That's the only thing we have in common. And maybe my dad, she's married to my, I don't know, like, do we, I mean, like, I've thought about this so many times and I've asked the Holy
I think
Spirit.
you
Holy Spirit,
see her as an extension of your family that you're not willing to like
I'm not,
participate in.
I don't know. I'm not related to, our only relationship is my brothers and
Do you have a relationship with your brothers?
my brothers are very little. And yes, we do have, I mean, they are very little. So we do have a relationship. We talk on a call, my dad. I mean, they are over there and I'm in the US. It's the same thing with my little sisters, but I'm closer with my little sisters because we've been sisters for a very long time. And I guess maybe my little sisters would be closer to my brothers because I live very far away and they see each other much more frequently than I do. But apart from that, yeah, we're family, literally, but
Do
we're
you guys
family.
ever do anything together?
How do you mean,
Okay, so I know someone who is from a polygamous home. It's just two wives, but they all live in the same house. They all live in the same house, and they don't. So the arrangement is, at least from what I remember, is they don't all travel together. I think one the he they travel the man travels with the children, and the wives stay home. So that it doesn't seem like he's choosing one. So the children all like are close in a sense, but yeah, they all live together. So there's a lot of like shared, and from what I understand, there was like the first wife had her own like maids, and the second wife had her own maids. And I think they shared the kitchen, like maybe you cook in the morning and then you cook in the evening. So it's like, do you guys ever come together? Like, is there a family picture of all three wives and all children? Like, is there family trips? Like, is there ever a time you guys come together?
No, we don't do things like that. The only time we would be together is December, and my mom doesn't come back often. Like she does not like to. My mom is as transparent as anything, so she does not know how to fake it. So she
I
cannot
understand.
go and fake. Ah, yes, so we're happy. Huh? She doesn't have things like that. You would literally see through her that she's not taking this shit from you. I'm sorry, this rubbish from you, but so, come back very often. So the only people that usually come back are my mom, my second mom, and my father's wife. And from what I know, you know, she's a, like, she's always, shall I use farms in? Hey, wait, my sisters are going to listen to this. My big cousins are going to listen. But from what I know, I was, for lack of a better term, she's, let me not use farms in. It's her family now. Ah, she has to. Anyway, I just know that she's always going to, you know, relate with my other mom. And what will my other mom do? Will she chase her away? So, please don't do polygamy. Take it from me. There's a lot of side with, you know, my father's family. It shouldn't be like this, but there's a lot of sides, and I know it because I mean, I'm not saying this because I don't like it, but I know that for some of my aunties, like, my mom is their favorite, and I also know that my other mom is not in, you know, on very good terms with most of my aunties, and they know that, oh, this how it is, we know each other, we know that we don't vibe, but, you know, we will still hi. And the third wife has to be smiling in front of everybody because, you know,
she has the least stake.
Yeah, so, but anyway, I think my dad is actually, should I say, in love with his third wife. I mean, I know that my parents married, just like
the example. I was going to ask that.
My parents are married, but they are not married. They are married, but they are not married. So, my dad, thank God,
with your mom, which is the first wife, you think it's a marriage of like responsibility and commitment? It's like, okay, we're in this together. We have,
anything together.
Okay. So they're more estranged.
No, they are not divorced yet. But they are just there.
Okay, so they don't relate that much. But he still provides for her, right?
He has to, because if I hear it. It's not like that. That's how it used to be before. But I mean,
because of the relationship that he has with you, he's not going to like hurt your mom, because he knows hurting your mom is going to hurt you and hurt you guys' relationship. So he just does what he needs to do for peace to reign and you to keep loving him.
So I guess that's one way to put it. But I've also heard from my auntie that, oh, your dad loves your mom so much. I've heard things like that. And when I heard it, I was like, oh, really? Tell me more, please. I've never, you know, heard or known this before. But yeah, I think I would say it's because of me, because he knows that.
So what about his relationship with the second wife? Are they more like married?
I think that's even what hurts me the most. So my dad, like I said before, my second mom stays in Cote d'Ivoire, and my dad has my mom and his other wife in Ghana. So he spends all the time. But I heard from my mom that now he comes back home sometimes, maybe once a week or twice a week. He has a house here and house there. So, but he spends most of his time there. I guess the reason will be that he has two little kids there, like, that would be the reason, but I know this. It's not really, you know, just, but
okay. So I'm running out of patience, because like I want to not be biased, but it just seems like this new one that came is now the one that is like he's involved with. But then how long though? Like, it's probably timed until he has all the boys he wants, and he decides, oh, he wants more girls. Or until he decides, you know what, I just want somebody that makes me feel younger. I don't know what people want. So it seems okay. So I think it's just something that he can do with impunity, meaning that it's a thing where it's just something he can do and he's going to do it. I don't think there's any special reason why he did it, because frankly speaking, the man is the person that is in charge of bringing the son. So it's like, if you keep having daughters, it's actually your fault. It's not the woman's fault, because girls are XX, boys are XY, women can't bring a Y, right? So it just seems like there's no particular reason. He just wanted multiple women. But in dealing with, so that's very interesting. And, you know, I think it's, now that I'm thinking about it, you know, I started initially with like, oh, you know, it could work. I don't think it could actually work like that, because more than likely, there's at least one or two parties that are not happy. Mm-hmm. And I think, and again, you know, this is just my personal feelings. This does not have anything to do with your particular situation. I wonder the kind of woman that marries a man that has multiple children and multiple wives already. Like, what kind of person must you be? Like, I think it says something about you more than anything, right? Like, it says something about you. Like, what could you feel like you're offering? Or is it that he's not happy at home? Like, and this is something I've always thought. It's not something that, you know, there's deception, but come on, like, in this age of social media and everything, like, I'm not convinced she was deceived. There's a, oh, I'm hiding my whole family from you, and then you didn't know, and that happens to a lot of people. But then there's also the, you willingly, like, you knew. And in this case, she did. And I think that's just distasteful. But again, it's not, it's something that happens in a lot of cases. But then,
she was, I mean, should I say this? But I know she has, I mean, she has children. She does have children. So she does have children from other people.
I see.
So this is not her first marriage, and I also don't think, well, I know that it's not a second marriage, so
okay, so we'll see. I think it's something pending, so there are many things that we'll see in the future. I mean, first of all, is your dad a Christian, or does he like to say he's a Christian? And
my dad is a Christian. He's a Christian. I probably should not be calling my dad a baby Christian, but my dad is a Christian that needs to mature, and we're praying for him. My dad is a Christian. He actually built a church too, but that doesn't mean you're a Christian. But he built a church for the Presbyterian. For Presby, he built a church. So my dad is a Christian. No, he just doesn't go to church. He's like a social media Christian, that kind of thing.
I see. That's interesting. So my thing in this is I guess I kind of want to, you know, also think about, do you think if women knew that they were getting into a polygamous relationship, it would work? For instance, let's say, you know, the first wife knows and she is involved in the choosing process of the second wife. Because the cultures, right? There's like the Muslim culture that allows for it. Like, you're marrying a Muslim, you know, Alaji or whatever, like, you probably know you may not be the only wife, and they expect it. So do you think if you chose who you could get along with, who you like, that it will make things easier? Or do you think this is a no?
No, because people change and you don't really know. Like, no, please don't do it. Why would you want to share your husband with somebody, please? Why would you want, with your own full sense, you guys?
But then that's if you're marrying for love. Like, what if you are not attached to the man? As okay, he's not, like, you're not attached to him in the sense of, oh, I love him, he's the love of my life, he's going to satisfy every desire in my life. What if you're just like, okay, I'm marrying this man for protection and a name, whatever that, I mean, I'm just giving an example. Like,
you could become greedier. than, you know, at first it could just be this. So this is just it. But when you enter and you see, this man actually, you know, I can attain or
The
get here, you know.
possessiveness, yeah.
Yeah. So no, it's
Yeah.
no.
I agree. I mean, I don't see a situation where I want to share. I don't see a situation where me personally, it's not, I'm not advocating for it. I'm just thinking, what if, you know? And because also in the Bible, there were people that had multiple wives, you know, and there were people that had other women. And again, I'm not saying that the Bible advocates for it. In fact, I don't believe God actually liked it. I think it was just the decisions that people made. But yeah, it's interesting. So you're of the opinion that there's never a condition where polygamy makes sense right now in the world that we're living in.
No, please don't. No, and
I like how you're saying
yes,
please, like there are guys that are here thinking about it and you're like, no, please. Or like there's a girl here that is waiting to be a third wife.
it, because in as much as you know, I mean, before I didn't even realize that my parents were actually being hurt by all the decisions they were making. It was really all about me. This is so bad. Like the kids, of course, the kids are a very huge part of it, because about it, a lot of dysfunctional families, it's always the kids that end up growing up into, you know, whatever. But don't do it, even for your own self. Please don't do it. It's not. I mean, going to marriage with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will never ask you to go and marry, you know, get married to somebody as second wife. No, don't do it. No, it's a no for me, please. It's a no. No matter what the offer is.
That's funny. But I think I think I'm forced to agree with you because I don't think that your dad is fully happy with all the decisions he's made. I don't think there's ever any scenario where he will feel happy. I think even the peace, even the amount of money he even spends alone just maintaining three households, like that's something he could have been using for something else. So no matter how rich he is, it's like it's just financially is not really wise, like, and a lot of things. Like you're going to have children that will grow up with a lot of resentment. And I want to talk about resentment a little bit as we round up. At some point as children, we grow up and we see our parents for who they are. And that can be a very interesting process. Like when we're children, like your mom is your idol, your dad is perfect. They're all just so perfect. And then as you get older, you're like, oh, this person is flawed. This person make crazy decision and probably still makes crazy decision. I mean, I know I went through that with my family. It's like, you know, I'll say one about my mom. I'm like, my mom spends like a lot of money on it. Like she's the kind of person that walks into a store and sees a dress. I was like, oh, I need this dress. I'm like, you don't need this dress. Like, no, I need it. I need it. And she'll buy it. You know, whereas my dad is like extremely frugal. Like he will buy something cheap that probably he should just buy the original and the expensive, but he'll buy something cheap that'll cause him to end up paying three times. So it's like you see that, and then you start understanding, okay, these people are flawed. Like you see the decisions they make, or they may even call you to their room and tell you, oh, these are things I did. These are things I did when I was young. You know, I wish I had somebody to tell me or something like that, you know, and you see the things that they do. But w yours is, you know, bit interesting because it was things that not just affected him and them or in the past, it's things that affected you growing up and you know made you grow up. Like because you know you watch movies and you see this man and wife and you say, bro, my family doesn't look like this. You're having to spend time, you have two mothers that you really love but don't communicate. So it's like, how did that make you feel in terms of you know, getting over that, if you're over that, and what would you tell to anybody who has like seen parts of their parents, let's say abusive parents, or even parents that were abusive to their other parents, you know, or parents that were abusive to them? Like, what would you say to someone who's listening in terms of forgiving and letting go of resentment?
For me, it was really the Holy Spirit. It was just the revelation that my parents are my parents. I was not born to solve their problems. So I love my parents so much. And in as much as, you know, me growing up and seeing my dad hitting my mom hurts me, it's I mean, I will pray for my parents, but it's not my job to solve their problems. They have to be able to solve the problems that they create for themselves. I cannot come and carry their problems on my head when I have, you know, things that God has brought me to the earth to do. I don't know if I'm sounding selfish. I'm not being selfish, but really, it's not your responsibility as you just came out of that marriage. You did not bring them together. So let them solve their problems. Do the most or the best that you can do is to pray for them. So please pray for your parents. Pray for your parents. People, our parents, you know, our parents, my parents are really hurting. You know, one time I sat my parents down and I tried to talk to them. It was the first time I met my mom, my dad's other wife, and my brother. After we came back from their house, I sat my parents down and I spoke to them, and my dad cried. It wasn't the first time. I know the other time I ever saw my dad cry was when he hit my mom. He hit my mom, and then he was in his room. And he just sat on his bed and he cried. And I consoled him, thinking about it. Wow, I'm actually, should I say I've been through a lot? Why are they making me do things like this? But anyway, yeah, love your parents. I mean, for me, it was also that I know that even if my parents were to separate today, it doesn't stop me from being mommy's best girl or daddy's favorite child. I'll always be my dad's favorite child. I'll always be my mom's best girl, and they love me. So I think that is enough for me. My parents don't have to be together. I mean, if it's toxic, it's toxic. Like, go, like, walk away from it. I'm not talking about the But if it's a toxic relationship, why do you want to be there? God has a better plan for you. God has something better for you. And my mom always, you know, she always tells me, like, she always says this. She doesn't say it as a joke. She always says that she married wrongly. She told me that before you ever, you know, go out with a guy, make sure you consult the Holy Spirit. Don't make mistakes like me because I went into marriage because, you know, I felt a certain kind of way and this is where it has brought me to. So, really, number one, it's really the Holy Spirit, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts, right? So you understand that your parents love you, so love them. You don't if you only love them at their best, right? That is, I don't know if that qualifies as love. I mean, look at Jesus. He loved us even before we came to him and accepted him as our Lord and Savior, right? He loved us. His love was wholesome. It was holy. Like it was everything for him, everything about me for him. So in the same way, love your parents. So in that way, you're not you you don't you won't see a reason to resent them because it's their life.
My question is, so in letting go of that hurt, you think that the Holy Spirit had a huge role to play in letting go of the hurt? Because, and that's one. And then I guess in rounding up to, I mean, my other question is, how do you make sure that you don't follow the same patterns? And are you worried about going into marriage?
I'm not worried. My advice is follow the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Let him guide you. Really, everything, all things are passed away. That person, right, that was hurt is not the person that I am today. I gave up the old man and now this is a new person. So this new person lives with a new life and the person that is guiding me is the Holy. So I don't have to think about things. All those hurtful memories, all those, you know, maybe fear about marriage or getting abused in marriage, that was that person, not this person. So if you have the Holy Spirit, you have nothing to fear. Everything comes back to God and the Holy Spirit and God's love for us, really.
I like what you said about the new man and the old man. You know, when you're born again, when you accept Christ into your heart, there's actually a metamorphosis that happens. The old man that was born into this family and is held back by certain things, you know, or the things you didn't get or the love you didn't receive, that man dies. And the new you is no longer connected to your family by blood. The Bible says that we are not born of the will of man, right? But we're born of the incorruptible word of God, of the seed of God. And so in Christ, you have a new family. You have a new heritage. Yes, we can't, you know, abandon our family. You can't abandon our family and say, oh, we're not going to love them. We're not going to, like, hang out with them anymore. No, but something happened when you give, or something rather, something happens when you give your heart to Christ. And, you know, for anyone here who's listening, who has been thinking about this, this is your sign. There's no other sign. There's no other opportunity. This is the opportunity that you've been waiting for. And does this mean that, oh, when you give your heart to Christ, you will instantly stop feeling pain? No. It just means that that pain no longer has a hold over you. It means that those decisions that were made on your behalf or at some point affected you no longer affected you. It means that your paternity now is not the normal paternity that you had before, right? You're now paternally related to God. In fact, fully related to Him. You know, when Jesus said He was the Son of God, it meant He was God in flesh. And the Bible says He came to make many sons. You know, so if there are things that you want to, you know, that you've dealt with in the past, the Holy Spirit, whom you receive when you give your heart to Christ, is there to take up that burden. You know, Jesus said, come unto me, you know, and you know, submit your burden pretty much, and I'll carry it. You know, so at this point, I want to give anybody who is at their wit's end, and who would like to accept Christ into their heart, an opportunity to accept Him into your heart, because indeed, something has changed and something will change, and you'll be welcomed into the fatherhood of God. And God will begin to talk to you and teach you and communicate with you what forgiveness looks like. And for the first time, you will understand true love. If your parents never loved you, if they didn't love you as much as you wanted, if they didn't love you in the way that you wanted to be loved, God loves you, and that's real. And I want you to say this prayer after me. Oh, Lord God, I believe with all my heart in Jesus Christ, Son of the living God. I believe He died for me, and God raised Him from the dead. I believe He's alive today. I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life from this day. Through Him and in His name, I have eternal life. I'm born again. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. I am now a child of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Congratulations. You are now a child of God. And to receive, you know, more information as to how you can grow as a Christian, to talk, you know, to let me know that you just said this prayer, please reach out to me at thisrookie on Instagram. And I will leave my email in the description for this episode so you can reach out to me and talk to me. And then for everyone who's listening so far, thank you so much. Thank you, Jane Doe, for coming and telling your story so passionately. I think at the end of this, I don't agree that polygamy can be worked on. I don't even like it anymore. Like, I didn't like it at the beginning, but I dislike it even I dislike it even more. So I'm not, because initially I was like, if somebody wants to deal with their life, they should go ahead. But I don't think in good conscience I can ever encourage anybody. So thank you for convincing me about that. And that's that. I think it's important. And again, this is why we have conversations with Ricky, to ask questions that nobody wants to ask, but talk about the things that sometimes people are too shy to talk about, and just to really ask questions. So yeah, look out for more episodes. Again, share, comments, review. But I want to know from the listeners, do you think that there's ever a situation where polygamy works? And what are your thoughts on today's episode? So reach out to me, Conversations with Rookie, or on Instagram at thisrookie, and let's know. Or write to us again in the email in the description so we can know what your thoughts are. Do you have similar experiences, things you want to share? I'm all ears, and I'll talk about it in the next episode. Thank you so, so, so much. Bye, everybody. Thank you, Jane.
Everything is on mine, yeah.
Show us the blessings, I have them in twos. Making progress every day, cause no losing, yeah.
I cannot be moved because I'm made from you.
You are the owner of everything. You are the owner of everything. Call it love. We call it love. You are the owner of everything. You are the owner of everything. Call it love. We call it love. We call it love. We call it love.